Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 136. Tonight I have my good friend David Williams in the studio with me again. David, good to have you.
It's wonderful to be here.
Well, we're still on this topic of where are we in God's time clock and what is happening right now in the world. What's going on from the election? We're getting close to an inauguration here later in the month. This is the first broadcast after the new year, and we're hoping that 2017 will be a nice bright spot in our calendar of world events. But we're going to look at some biblical precedent and maybe a little history from the Bible to maybe see what potentially lies ahead for us as Americans and what lies ahead for the world. And so many times right now we hear many people thinking that all is well. We have a new president that's going to save the day, going to make America great again. And we all hope that's true, but you know, things don't always go the way we hoped. And, you know, if you're out in the desert and you see this, which looks like water on the horizon, you know, you may have a little bit of energy to go seek this body of water out there in the desert, but your hope may be just an illusion. It may not be based upon reality. It may be a mirage in the desert. And so what we're going to talk about is that, is the hope that we're looking at in the future, is it real? Is it a real oasis in the desert right now? Or is it a mirage? And we're going to look at some biblical precedent. King David is one that we're going to be discussing tonight about some things that happened in his reign that may give us an idea of the mercy of God and the judgment of God. And the first one we want to talk about is, I believe, the one where King David was a new administration after King Saul. And he brought in this godly reign that was now coming in after a man who failed God. And some things happened when he first took office. What tell us a little bit about the story, David.
Well, there's an interesting story that's related to us in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I'll go ahead and read the beginning of that chapter. It says, "During the reign of David, there was a famine for 3 successive years, so David sought the face of the Lord. The Lord said, 'It is on account of Saul and his blood-stained house. It is because he put the Gibeonites to death.' The king summoned the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not a part of Israel, but were survivors of the Amorites. The Israelites had sworn to spare them, but Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, had tried to annihilate them. David asked the Gibeonites, 'What shall I do for you? How shall I make atonement so that you will bless the Lord's inheritance?' The Gibeonites answered him, 'We have no right to demand silver or gold from Saul or his family, nor do we have the right to put anyone in Israel to death.' 'Well, what do you want me to do for you?' David asked. They answered the king, 'As for the man who destroyed us and plotted against us so that we have been decimated and have no place anywhere in Israel, let 7 of his male descendants be given to us to be killed and their bodies exposed before the Lord at Gibeah.'" And the story goes on. But just to recap, what's interesting here is that, number one in this story, a sin was committed by a former administration, by Saul's administration. Number two, a new administration chosen by God, run by a man after his own heart, is now in power. And then number three, the nation undergoes a 3-year judgment from God in the form of a famine. So it's interesting that with this, with God's chosen people, with God's chosen king over his chosen people, a man who is after his own heart, that all of a sudden God decides to bring up an issue where the former evil leader had done something. And this was a treaty that was a fairly old treaty. If you remember when the Israelites came into the promised land to take possession of it, the Gibeonites came and to Joshua and the other leaders of Israel, and they they lied to them. They deceived them. And if you remember, it's the story where they bring some old moldy bread and they say, "Hey, when we left on our journey, this was fresh out of the oven. And look, you know, we've been journeying so long that the bread's moldy." And they deceived them and said, "We're from far away. Will you make a covenant with us, a treaty, that you will not destroy us like you're doing with the other inhabitants of the land?" And so, but even based upon that deceptive treaty, God honored that. And when Saul backed out of it, David and the people of his nation suffered as a result.
You know, what's amazing is that you think, why didn't this judgment come during King Saul's reign? You know, he was the man who made this decision to come against the Gibeonites. So how does this happen? How does this play out that the next administration pays the price for the former administration? And could this possibly be another scenario that could play out in America? Could even a more godly man or someone who seems to actually have promoted Christianity and entertained many Christians, whether it was all for the right reasons or not, we don't know for sure, but certainly he has the appearance that he is willing to stand up for Christian values and take the heat. So I certainly give him credit right now that he is putting himself in a position for God's blessing. But if King David, a man after God's own heart, suffered for the sins of the previous administration, is it possible that something like this scenario could play out again?
Right. And you know, to be clear, for anyone who's listening, I think you and I were speaking before the program. I think it would be easy for people to say, well, hey, you don't live in the United States. Maybe you're anti-American. Maybe you're, very cynical or hateful towards America or Americans. And that's not true. We both have friends and family still living in the States. And we are Americans. That's where we spent most of our lives, and we would hope for the best for that nation and for our people, the same that we would hope for any nation or people, that they would turn back to the Lord. And so, I think we were talking about that the word that we'd like to stress is caution. You know, are we pro-Trump? Well, I don't know if we're pro-Trump, but in that he's the leader of our nation and our people, we would say yes. You know, we pray that he would make wise decisions, that he would himself turn to the Lord and would turn our nation to the Lord. However, from a biblical point of view or a what we would call a Christian, you know, worldview, we have to realize that there are unseen things that we need to focus on that may not be evident to just everyone. For example, every nation on earth that has ever existed throughout human history desires peace, safety, prosperity for its residents, security. And so with that, we would say, well, then any nation, whether it's Nebuchadnezzar, Genghis Khan, you know, Napoleon, whoever, they want to beef up the military if they're wise. They want to build walls. They want to, you know, protect their borders. Those are all good things, and I don't see God coming against those in the Scripture. Mm-hmm. However, when we put our faith in those things rather than in Him, we run into trouble.
Well, that's the next story that we want to bring up, is King David obviously had a great army, and certainly there's nothing wrong with a great army, but he made a fatal flaw, or fatal error, I guess you might say, by wanting to know how big his army was. They wanted to know how many fighting men that he had. And this is a man after God's own heart that made a foolish blunder, and he even admitted it after he was caught with his blunder. But let's share that little story, because I think we have to realize that there's always a price to pay for sin. We think that maybe we got away with something. Maybe Saul thought he got away with something, you know, but the price came down the road. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and they carried the shoulders of the priest, they carried on the back of a cart carried by an oxen. And once they hit the threshing floor and hit a bump, then all of a sudden everything went south, and a man died when he tried to retain the Ark from falling, and he was killed instantly. But everything seemed to going just fine until that point in time. So many times we can think everything's just fine, but but there's a threshing floor. There's a time of separation from the good and the bad, the wheat and the chaff, and this place happened there. But this story is very interesting, what happens when David decides he's going to count his fighting men.
Well, and one account of that is in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and it says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? When then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?' Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000, and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 430, and 10,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, 'I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now, I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly.' And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go, and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things, choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee.' So Gad came to David, and said unto him, 'Thus saith the Lord, choose thee, either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me.' And David said unto Gad, 'I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man.' So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, 'It is enough, stay now thine hand.' And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces."
You know, that's here's this, the angel of the Lord with a sword in his hand has come to bring judgment upon a nation that has done wrong. And this is not like a nation that's done wicked. This is just a king who is a man after God's own heart did something wrong by trusting in the arm of his own strength instead of the arm of the Lord. I was just looking at some of the scriptures here just shortly ago, just reading some of the Psalms where King David even is going against his own advice in the scriptures. Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." In 27:1, Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life, and of whom shall I be afraid?" 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." 46:1, "My God, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." So all these scriptures are all showing that he believed God is his strength, and all of a sudden he made this blunder to go think, well, no, I don't know, my arm is pretty strong.
And this is what we're talking about. This is the unseen factor that we're talking about, because this is what the spiritual man sees and believes and understands as wisdom. The carnal man cannot perceive these things. You know, in Psalm 127, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." And so when you think about the story that we just read with King David, fighting, you know, counting the fighting men, this in the natural, to the natural man, this is just a man who's looking after his own nation, making sure that he's got an able military. You know, what is wrong with that? You know, there's talk about Trump wanting to beef up the United States military. Now, from a natural standpoint, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. From a natural standpoint, that makes perfect sense. We've seen, the former administration really weaken us in that area, and that's not a good thing. But, and here's the but, you know, spiritually, if we put our hope in new destroyers and new tanks and new aircraft and beefed up troops, well, if we do that while neglecting, you know, seeking the Lord, well, then we will do that to our own destruction.
That's, you know, here we are at this point in time in history, and the you know, one administration's about to take place, and here I've just been reading that Obama's recalling all the active aircraft carriers home for the first time since World War II. They're all going to be docked at home, you know, very vulnerable in one location. You know, this, like we were talking a minute about, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. But I want to read something that just came to my mind when you were reading about the angel of the Lord, how it came with a sword drawn to destroy and act on behalf of God to destroy God's people. And there was a dream that a man had back in mid-March of 2014, and he was interviewed on True News, and his name was Maurice Sklar, and he wrote in this dream, he said, "This week I had a dream. It was a terribly frightening dream. In it I saw a huge angel standing suspended in the air over New York Harbor. It looked so large that it covered the night sky. His body was clad in golden armor as if it was going to war. His face and entire being were so bright that I could not gaze up at him for long. White beams of light seemed to radiate outward from him in all directions. He was standing over the Statue of Liberty. It was night, but I could hardly see the lights around him coming from New York City as he blazed so brightly with divine light. He reached for his belt that was covered with a red sash around his midsection and drew out his sword. It was so massive, it blazed with light and fire all around it. It looked at least 100 feet long. I'd never felt such fear as I had when I had seen an angel before. I knew that this mighty warring spirit had authority from the very throne of God. He had a grim expression as he held his mighty sword over his head with both hands. I could see that he was poised to hit the Statue of Liberty and cleave it in two. I trembled and tried to hide, but the angel was looking directly at me, and I knew there was nowhere I could go that he would not see me. Then he spoke. His voice was like thunder, and it echoed throughout the whole harbor. How long will you refuse to humble yourself, O America? You have been weighed in the balances of God and found wanting. Your beginning was great and noble, but your end shall be disgrace and destruction. Thus saith the Lord of Heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts. Time is running out. The bowls of my wrath are full, and my fury and judgment. They shall be poured out upon you. You shall drink them down to the dregs, every drop. I have come to you day and night, pleading with you to return to me for over 100 years. I am merciful and long-suffering. It brings me no joy to judge you. But you have hardened your hearts, scoffed at my warnings through my prophets and my holy servants. I have brought you from nothing and exalted you, O America, higher than any other nation. But now you have fallen lower than Sodom. You have sinned greater than Egypt. You have become more prouder than Babylon and Persia. You have become more selfish than Rome. You have exalted yourself in your own wisdom higher than Greece. You have more idols and high places of idolatry and luxury than any Gentile kingdom in history. Your beginning was pure and great, but now the stench of your sin fills my nostrils. I shall cut you in pieces, and you shall reap the harvest of wrath from what you have sown. You shall no longer be the queen of nations. You shall bear your shame and become the lowest of the heathen nations. Now, as Agag, you shall be hacked in pieces, O earth, earth. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Then to my horror, this massive sword came smashing down on Lady Liberty. When it hit the top of her head, there was a blinding flash of light, and that sword split her in two right down the middle. Then the sword came again and again against her. It divided her into pieces. As the sword would finish each strike, fires would burst forth. I heard terrible explosions. The vision of the statue ended with an earthquake as it was hacked into pieces and sunk into the harbor. says, I was weeping and crying out to God for mercy. Never have I seen the sight of God before. I had only seen the love and goodness of Him. Never had I seen the wrath of the Almighty. And it says, then as if I was watching a zoomed-in close-up, the dream shifted and I started to zoom outward from New York Harbor and started traveling in the air over America. What I saw was horror beyond anything I'd ever seen. I saw the United States seem to crack in two with a giant earthquake right down the middle. I saw the southeastern United States covered with a giant wave of water from the ocean. I saw a massive earthquake that just seemed to crack off the coast of California. It reminded me of a saltine cracker that just cracked in two. The great cities along the West Coast just fell into the ocean all the way from Mexico up to Alaska, and giant floods flooded inland, waves flooded inland until much of the West Coast just wasn't there. It had just disappeared into the Pacific Ocean. So then I saw three giant rocket missiles that took off into the air. Two came from out of the ocean waters and one came from land and traveled a great distance. All of them blew up in the air, one, two, and three in the upper atmosphere within 5 minutes of each other. It was out near space. There were terrible nuclear bombs, but the last one was the biggest, and it created a huge mushroom cloud over the Midwest part of America. Then the ground shook, and everything just went black. There wasn't any electric light coming from any homes. Then candles began to be lit, and little light was seen. But there were other nuclear explosions, and many people perished because of throughout the nation. There was just twisted metal and charred debris in the cities that were once tall and majestic. And it goes on, and it says, then I was looking back at the terrible angel of the Lord, and he said, warn everyone, flee from the wrath to come. Repent and turn to Jesus while you still can. Pray that you may escape these things that are shortly to happen and stand in the presence of the Lord. These things are about to take place. Turn to God and cry out for mercy. Come into the ark of salvation before the doors of grace close and it is too late. You can find this prophetic word written on Strength for the Journey. It's on today's Rhema, and you'll have to scroll down to, I believe it's March the 15th or March the 19th, 2014. But all to say is that, you know, it happens suddenly. It may seem like everything is going just fine, and then all of a sudden it's all over. And I just keep thinking that America is about to be very heavily involved in the division of Israel right now, and we'll see very shortly, possibly before this administration is out, that there's some sort of an agreement that's being made right now behind closed doors. There always was a couple of weeks ago was a resolution condemning the West settlements that the Israeli have put up. So there's another thing that's about to happen, and how will God view this as we divide His land? Will He do what this dream showed, a giant crack down the middle? Is He going to divide America as we have divided His land? So we are still not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination right now, and people need to take this word very seriously. And if there's things in your life that you know are not right before the Lord, it's time to get things right and repent before Him. This is not happy days are here again just because another man has been elected. These are very trying and very scary times, really. Honestly, this is not something to take lightly, that the times that we're in right now.
Yes, and again, I would just reiterate that word caution. You know, we know from the scriptures that when people are saying peace and safety, that's when sudden destruction comes. And you know, it reminds me of in Amos chapter 5 when speaking about the day of the Lord, and I don't want to take this out of context, but it reminds me, it talks about that it's as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. In other words, you think you're in a safe place. You think, ooh, good, you know, I got out of that dangerous situation, and then boom, that's when you're bit, that's when you're attacked. And, you know, I want to be cautious with my words, but, what is the Antichrist? You know, certainly the Antichrist spirit has been around for as long as, you know, for at least a couple thousand years, but I think it could be argued for as long as man's history here on earth. And certainly we know that there are many Antichrists. So I don't want to speak about, you know, the man of lawlessness, the figure that that we all, you know, are on the lookout for. But any person can be an antichrist. If they take the place of Christ, you can be a preacher of the gospel. You can be a pastor, an evangelist. And if people look to you rather than to the Lord, then you could be in place of Christ in their life. And so one of the warnings that I would like to speak, and again, you know, weigh this carefully and hear what I'm saying, and please don't misread what I'm saying, but so much of the Christian community in America is looking at Donald Trump as this Messiah figure, as the Savior. And, you know, 8 years ago and 4 years ago, the Christian community was up in arms because they were thinking, oh, look at the world. They're looking at Obama as their Savior, as the Messiah. And, you know, he's got this Messiah complex. Well, you know, we've just, the pendulum has swung to the other side now. And now we've got, you know, right-wing conservative people who are viewing Trump in the same manner. And again, I pray for the man. I pray that he makes good decisions, that he leads this country in righteousness. However, if we start looking at him as if he is the answer or his administration is the answer rather than looking to the Lord, then again, we're done for.
You know, the Lord, let's use King David's own words. You know, the Lord is my strength and my defense, and he's my high tower. He's our salvation, and it's not going to be found in a man. And if we start looking in as a man, you know, we set ourselves up for judgment, because now we have replaced God. And just like what King David did, he replaced God as his strength by numbering his army. That was just the demonstration that his strength of his own army was his defense. And that offended God to the point that he says, no, you know, we got to get this thing straightened out real quick. But the good thing about King David was he repented and he said, I have done foolishly. And that's what we need to do in our own life right now. We just need to, if the Lord has convicted us of anything that is not right with him, we need to let, that the hammer's going to come down, we need to fall upon the mercy of God in this point in time in our life right now, not deny, oh, it wasn't me, you know, it was that woman you gave me, Lord, I, you know, sure, I ate the apple, but, you know, it was their fault. You know, we can't be blaming anybody right now but ourselves. We need to, that's what repentance is all about. Essentially, if we're still making excuses for our sin, then we're not repentant. True repentance offers no excuse. And this is what the Lord showed me a number of years ago, is that if we're still making excuses, then we're not truly repentant. If we wave the white flag and dislike and fall upon the mercy of God, as King David did, then we have a repentant heart. And then God's mercy will come at that point. David, thanks for being on the program. Our time has run out. Where'd it go? So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.